Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, April 15th, 5:25 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are lower to start a new week. May corn futures down 1¾ at 4:33¾. May soybeans down 3¾ at 11:70¼. May Chicago wheat down 6¼ at 5:49¾. May Kansas City wheat down 3¼ at 5:86½. May spring wheat down 2 at 6:40¾. Let's start off with this pipeline update.
So the world's largest carbon capture and storage project continues to face opposition. Summit Carbon Solutions carbon pipeline was first announced back in 2021 and was expected to be operational by this year. However, the project's start date has been pushed back until early 2026 due to farmer resistance and regulatory challenges. Summit has been forced to reroute its pipeline 6,300 times. Due to this, along with rising costs, the pipeline's estimated price tag has almost doubled to about $8 billion. Those in favor of the pipeline claim it's essential for the future of the ethanol industry. They believe that farmers need this pipeline to stay competitive with other countries that are already lowering their carbon intensity scores.
This is an update on an old story. We know that these pipelines have had issues and a lot of pushback. There are two sides here. I understand both of them. I don't have an opinion on it. You guys let me know what you think. The one side is kind of that last sentence that you read. So we are moving away from the combustion engine and toward electric vehicles. That's what we're told will be the trend in the coming years. And therefore, we need somewhere else to go with ethanol. We're going to do sustainable aviation fuel. And for that to work, for a lot of this to work, you're going to need these pipelines to work. So we're trying to kind of shore up the demand base for corn grown in the United States. The other side is, I don't want this in my backyard, which is totally understandable. There's safety issues. Nobody likes the government poking around in their land that they own. There's eminent domain issues. So I understand both sides of it, definitely. I don't know if I'd want it in my backyard. In any case, this is the most updated version of the Summit map that I had found on the internet. And there's 100 different or 6,300 different versions of this, apparently. The sequestration site is North Dakota, and this carbon is going to come largely from Iowa, a little bit from Nebraska, South Dakota, a little bit from Minnesota, and a little bit from North Dakota. So does it happen? Does it not happen? I don't know. There are so many questions surrounding this whole carbon capture and sequestration thing, the carbon credits, the carbon scoring, all of that. We've done, I think, 12 or 13 videos on SAF, carbon, crush expansion, climate, pipeline, all of that stuff. I sent out an email last week to our premium subscribers, including every single one of those videos. If you guys want to see that email, sign up for the premium deal this morning and just reply to the welcome email. Say, Joe, I want to see all those videos, and I will shoot you over a copy of that email.
On Saturday night, Iran launched an attack on Israel from its own territory for the first time in history. About 350 drones and missiles were launched from Iran during the strike. However, Israel and its Western allies, including the U.S., the U.K., France, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, intercepted the majority of those launches. Israel has not said how it plans to respond to the attack. However, Israel's foreign minister stated that a retaliatory strike could not be ruled out. The Biden administration has said it will not back an Israeli counterattack against Iran due to worries that it could spark a regional war. Crude oil futures are trading lower to begin the week.
If this had happened when the markets were open, it would have been absolute chaos. It just so happens that it happened during the weekend and nothing was open. So we never really reacted to it. And now you've got, you know, you would think crude oil higher on this, right? And it's not. Crude's actually lower to start the week. So Biden said that the U.S. isn't going to back an Israeli counterattack, which is a big deal. And that's probably why it won't happen. I guess that they're doing something right here and that they don't want to add fuel to the fire here when it comes to this war. This is my favorite thing on the internet, even though it may be insensitive. The U.S. is funding both sides of this. We've sent a lot of money to Iran, who's like our sworn enemy, yet at the same time, we're backing Israel in all of this. Yeah, maybe it's insensitive, but it is true to some extent. Here's crude. So we're actually ended last week lower, and we're trading lower to start this week. Just south of $88 is where we peaked, I believe, last week. My chart still says maybe a target near 99, but that's just an imaginary line on the chart. So crude is kind of more stabilized here following all this.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some videos you put together last week?
Thursday was USDA Day. USDA Day is a good day to be a premium subscriber. I do a USDA snapshot video, which is like 4 or 5 minutes long, but it comes out within 15 or 20 minutes of the release. You get all the high-level items. People like that. These are some of the more popular videos that we do. Jim Uriel was on Friday. We did Macro Friday. We do Macro Friday every 2 weeks. And we try to really kind of speak the truth when it comes to what's going on with the Fed, the creation of new money, inflation, how the Fed is really backed into a corner right now. They just don't talk about this stuff in mainstream media because it's too terrifying, but we do. And I thought Jim did an excellent job of explaining exactly how screwed the Fed is when it comes to the inflation situation, but also the interest rate situation, the interest on the national debt, all that. We got into some details here. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. Cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Sign up this morning. I will forward you a copy of this morning's email. This is the best way to support what we're doing here. We have no sponsors. We have no corporate backing. The only way we're able to get up and do the podcast and YouTube every single day is because of the premium subs. So if you're a premium sub, we love you. If you're not, give it a shot this morning.
Fund traders continue to hold a historically large net short position across the grain complex. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending April 9th, the funds were net sellers of 6,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 256,000 contracts remains historically large. Funds were net buyers of 1,000 contracts of soybeans. The net short of 126,000 contracts is also historically large. And funds were net buyers of 5,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
This is becoming especially frustrating because you're seeing strength in some other commodity markets. You look at energies, a lot of them, at least the ones tied to crude oil, have been stronger. You look at some of your outside soft commodities, your coffee, your cocoa, have been stronger. Yet the grain markets just have not been able to rally. There's no love for the grain markets among large speculators. They still hold this massive net short position across the complex. And let me be clear about this. I think that the fund short in these markets, it's not the reason that the markets are down. This is a symptom of markets that are oversupplied. When you look at like March 1 corn stocks that were 8 billion bushels, that's the reason that corn prices are really cheap. There's just too much corn out there. The fund short is a symptom of that and is a much smaller position than the corn that's actually floating around in the country, just as one example. So the funds are not the reason that the corn market went from, you know, $6 down to 4.5. It's because we grew big crops. It's because the demand base is less than desired. And this is a symptom of that situation.
Chinese demand prospects are weakening. Chinese soybean imports fell by nearly 20% in March, hitting a four-year low for the month. The decline is attributed to weakened feed demand in the livestock sector and reduced consumer consumption. Soybean imports, however, are anticipated to rise during the second quarter once Brazil's harvest is complete. Meanwhile, China may cancel corn shipments from Europe to support domestic prices. Last week, China canceled approximately 300,000 metric tons of Ukrainian corn imports. Chinese corn prices are near a three-year low due to last season's bumper crop, a spike in imports, and reduced feed demand from the livestock sector.
So all sorts of chatter about China canceling purchases. I suppose European corn purchases may be the next casualty here. Reuters did report, and I believe this is accurate, China's corn imports in the first 2 months of 2024 are up 16% from a year ago. So it's not like they're bad. It's just that these headlines are not good and not helpful to the markets, especially when China is such a big importer when it comes to everything. So it's just not a good look.
NOPA will release March crush data today. Traders estimate that NOPA members crushed 197.8 million bushels of soybeans in March. If realized, the crush would be up 6.2% from February and up 6.4% compared to March of last year. Additionally, it would be the largest crush on record for any month, exceeding the high of 195.3 million bushels set in December 2023. Soybean oil stocks as of the end of March are forecast at 1.8 billion pounds. If realized, stocks would be up 6% from the end of February, but down 3.2% from March of last year. That report will be released here this morning at 11 Central Time.
Domestic processing is great. USDA is projecting record crush for this year. And in the Ag Outlook Forum, they projected record crush for next year. The problem is two things. The crops have been too big and the export piece has been much softer. So despite the fact that we're crushing soybeans at a record pace and by a wide margin, it has not been enough to rally the market. It hasn't been enough to really help the soybean market in any way because Brazil's had big crops. The U.S. had a big crop last year, and that export piece is really struggling. So I have nothing bad to say about crush. It's very strong. It's just that you've got some other things that have more than offset that positive item.
USDA reported a flash sale of soybeans on Friday. U.S. exporters sold 5 million bushels of soybeans to unknown destinations for delivery during the current marketing year. This is the fourth flash sale of soybeans since the beginning of April, totaling 24 million bushels.
I think if there were three, I think one of them was Mexico and three of them were unknowns. Does that sound right?
Yep.
So I don't know who the unknowns are. This is good. We're still not, I don't think, on track to hit. No, actually, we may be on track now to hit USDA's export target because they just reduced it again. So it's good, but it's not going to move the needle back in the right direction. What did cattle do on Friday?
They sank lower, of course, being pressured by more cases of the bird flu being out there in dairy cattle. Feeders closed an average of $3.27 lower. Live cattle closed an average of $2.39 lower. Cash cattle trade was also down last week. In the north, cattle sold at $184 to $185, which was $2 to $3 lower. In the south, cattle sold at $182, which was $2 lower compared to the previous week. Box beef prices edged higher last week. Choice closed Friday at $300.57. That was up $3.40 for the week. Select ended Friday at $295.54. That was up 84 cents for the week.
Outside markets to start the week. Excuse me. U.S. dollars off a little bit. Stocks are higher. The S&P is up 22. The Dow Jones up 100. Bonds are off a full handle. Crude oil is down 80 cents at 84.86 in the May WTI. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.